Philippians chapter 1, of course, this is in our daily Bible reading and our messages. It was in the daily Bible reading this week, our messages this year out of our daily Bible readings. So go to Philippians chapter 1. You camp there, and I'm going to go over a few scriptures, and then we'll wind up back there in just a few minutes. But let me read to you from Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 right now. It says, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Then in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. And then Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We're kicking off this Taking Ground series today, and in this first message, I want to talk to you about the battleground. The battleground. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, for these next 25 minutes or so, God, we just ask for an open heaven. Help us to respond to your word, Lord, so that we can be everything you've called us to be and we can take the ground that you've called us to take in our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Several years ago, I think the church was about 3 years old, and Pastor Chris and I, the pastor at our Orange Park campus, come on, West Side. We know you guys say West Side is the best side, but you know, it's not just the West Side, it's really OP, and OP is the place to be. So, how about that? So, I'll make a rhyme on a dime every time. But anyway, Chris and I actually lived on the same street. The church was a few years old. You know, Chris and Ashley, they one of the founding couples with us. We lived on the same street in this neighborhood. It was actually Julington Creek Plantation down there. We lived on the same street. And there was this guy, and you might have one of these people in your neighborhood. There was this guy that lived across the street. It's kind of like my house, a couple of houses, and Chris' house. And there was this guy that lived across the street. And this guy was like the yard Cosa Nostra. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, his yard, and he'd always win yard of the month. I mean, his yard, it was, I mean, every blade of grass was perfect. It was like each and every blade was personally groomed. It was the perfect shade of green, and every blade was the perfect height. And when he would mow, he would produce these diagonal patterns in his yard, and then they were like different shades of green, and everything was just perfect, you know. And he'd always be out in his front yard, like basking in his yard glory. Now, I'll never forget, I'd always come out in my yard. My yard was all shoddy looking, all nappy looking, you know, all weedy and craggly and brown. It wouldn't be green. I'd just come out, man, I'd look across the street at his yard, and I'd feel so bad about my old nappy looking yard. And Chris's yard wasn't very good either. And so finally Chris and I decided, look, we are gonna take down the yard Cosa Nostra. We're going after him. We're gonna pump our yard up. And so Chris and I started looking at what we could do, and I think it was Chris who said, hey, look, I found there's this stuff you can put on your yard. It's like, I don't know, nitrate or phosphate. I mean, it was some kind of chemical, and you can put it on your yard, man. It'll really cause your grass to grow, and it'll turn it real green. And so I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to get that guy. We'll see who's yard of the month now. And so, is something wrong with this? So anyway, I put all this stuff, and I did what I thought we were supposed to do, and I watered and everything, man, and my grass started turning green. It started growing. I'll never forget the morning. I came out of my front door, and I walked out, and my grass was totally brown. It had all died. I had killed it. I'd put the wrong proportion or over amount of this stuff, and it had just burned it, and it had fried it, man, and it was just like there had been a fire in my yard, and it was just all dead and gross and brown. And I'll never get just going out and just in anguish, just in the atmosphere of failure, just looking at my yard, and I look up, and there's the yard Cosa Nostra just basking in his yard glory as I was humiliated in defeat. And so anyway, you know, after that, I had to get like a real, like a yard guy. I had to replace all the sod and all of that. And the guy came and he actually, you know, a guy that actually knew something about yards, not like Chris. I think what Chris was doing, he was taking his bodybuilding techniques and he was trying to apply it to my yard. Just like the more protein you can take, the better. He was thinking like the more of this stuff, the better on the yard. And it just killed it. But the yard guy came that was going to replace all my sod and all this stuff. He said, Stovall, look, you don't need this stuff. He said, look, the problem is the ground. And he started pulling on me, started showing me. He said, look at this. This sod was just basically laid on sand. This ground is it doesn't have anything to take root in. And so it can't grow. And you can't really have a good looking yard until we deal with the ground here and make the ground right. Cultivate it where it's an environment to grow. And that's the same thing in our own lives. Listen, God, He wants to bless your life. He wants to do some amazing things in your life. He wants to do some amazing works of transformation in your life. The problem, as the Bible says, it's not that God's arm is too short that He can't save. It's not that God doesn't have the power or the want to really come in and do something awesome, do a new thing in your life. The problem is many times our ground, our own personal, the ground of our hearts. And here, if you'll go back to Genesis 3:17 and 18 for just a minute, it's amazing that right in the beginning, this relationship starts between man and the ground and God. We know, as I said in the video there, that Adam was created from the ground. And if you look there, and this should be on the screen there, the very name of Adam in the Hebrew there, it is Adam. Everybody say Adam. That is the Hebrew word for where we get the word Adam. And so in 17, it talks about, you know, Adam, you're in big trouble because you listened to your wife. I'm just preaching the word, man. All right, we'll move on. Don't worry, ladies, I'm going to help you out later. But the real issue is, he says, you know, you ate of that tree that I commanded you not to. And now look what God says about the ground. He's basically saying, Adam, because of your fall, the ground is not going to cooperate with you anymore like I intended it to. And God goes on to say, cursed is the ground. Do you see the Hebrew word for ground? It is what? Adamah. Adamah. In other words, the very name for man, Adam, is the root word for Adamah. Adam came out of Adamah, the ground. And so there's this correlation between man and the ground right in the beginning of Scripture here. And he says, look, cursed is the ground, Adamah, that which I took you from, your very name, the root of that. Because of you, through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It'll produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants thereof. You see, Adam had been created to take and subdue the Adamah, the earth. The ground that he was taken from, God called him in the beginning. He said, Adam, look, I want you to take this ground. I want you to till it. I want you to subdue it. In other words, Adam, your primary role in what you do is, I want you to continually take ground. And the earth, this ground, it's going to cooperate with you. I want you to be creative, and I want you to get out there, and I want you to enjoy your work. I want you to take the ground, the Adamah, and you know what? It's going to be a blessing to you. It's going to produce for you. There's going to be all kind of fruit from it. It's going to be a source of prosperity to you and your family. I want you to take this ground. I want you to get out there, and all these great things are going to happen from the ground. However, when Adam rebelled, his authority over the ground was shattered. And as God says there in Genesis 3:18, he says, because of your rebellion, because of your disobedience, now the ground is not going to cooperate with you any longer. It's not going to, in fact, it's from the sweat of your brow, it's not going to cooperate anymore. It's going to be thorns. It's going to be thistles. And what God was doing here in the natural, he was also showing what had happened in the spiritual. See, we were created to have fellowship with God. We were created to have that unity, that relationship with God. But when Adam sinned, when he rebelled with his ground, all of a sudden now man could no longer cooperate with God. Man could no longer be subdued by God unless he received Jesus Christ. It's what the Bible talks about in Romans. He says the carnal mind, it's at enmity with God. It cannot submit to God's law. See, all of us, just as the ground rebelled, all of us, all of mankind, our ground, we're formed from the dust of the earth. Our ground, we have rebelled against God, and our ground will no longer cooperate with God unless we surrender to God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came to redeem the ground that had been lost. Come on and bring it back to God. Can you give a hand to Jesus? And we see here in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, we see this scripture that beautifully sums up so much of what the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is about, with us learning to subdue our ground and cooperate with God. Hosea 10, 12 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." So here's what God's saying. Look, the problem is not that I don't want to rain righteousness on you. The problem is not that I don't want to rain down my blessing on you. The issue is with your ground. Your ground is still in that rebellious state. And even as believers, so much, we have ground. We have ground in the way we see ourselves, the way that we see God. We have ground in our personal lives. We have ground in our family, we have areas in our life. They're fallow. They're not fertile. They're not cooperating with God. And God is saying this, look, the problem's not with me wanting to bless you. The problem is not with me wanting to give you a breakthrough. The problem is your fallow ground. But if you will break up your fallow ground, I will rain righteousness. I will rain my power and rain my blessing down on your life. I'll do that if you break up your fallow ground. See, here's what you can know about God. Where he reigns, he reigns. Where he reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S, he reigns, R-A-I-N-S. Where he reigns in your mind, where he reigns in your heart, where he reigns in your life, guess what? He is going to reign. I will rain down righteousness. I will rain down my power into your life so that your ground can go from being fallow to fertile. So those things that you think are a wasteland, God says, I'll turn into a promised land. I'll rain down. I'll make that ground fertile again. But you've got to break up your fallow ground. So how do we do that? So what is that, Stovall? Is breaking up your fallow ground, is that repentance? Well, I think it could include repentance. But what is God really talking about? What is the real core issue where he's talking about how do we break up that fallow ground in our own lives? I mean, really only God can change our hearts, right? Only God can change our hearts, and when we have a changed heart, then transformation begins to take place in other areas of our life, and God's power begins to flow through us. So how do we do that? How do we break up our fallow ground? Well, I just want you to think about next weekend. Next weekend, it is such a historic weekend at Celebration Church. And I have a stake here. Vampires beware. Let me tell you what we're going to do next weekend as we break ground at Bay Meadows and 9A. First of all, when you break ground, I mean, obviously that ground has to be marked, right? We're not just going out. And there has to be a blueprint so that the ground can be marked properly for what's going to be built there or how the ground is going to be transformed. So we're not just going out. Next weekend we go out to Bay Meadows in 9-8. What you're going to see is you're going to see the blueprint. You're going to see on the ground there, you're going to see where you walk in. This area is marked. Okay, here's the children's area where our kids are going to learn to experience God like never before. They're going to have incredible environments. Here is this area, and here's the incredible 3,000-seat sanctuary where we're going to have an incredible worship environment for God. Think of all the people that are going to be reached, all of your friends, all of your families, how many people in Jacksonville and around the world that are going to be reached in that sanctuary that are not yet here. You'll be able to walk, you'll be able to see, oh, here's the stage where Stovall's going to be preaching so I can boo him. And you're going to see how this is all marked out from a blueprint of how we're supposed to build to transform this area into this incredible worship environment. We're just not going out there with stakes like, we're taking the land. And we're going to go out there with these stakes and we're going to put them in the ground where it is marked. We're going to stake that ground according to the blueprint. Then once it's staked, guess what? We're going to let everybody put in a stake. Then the blueprint's there. The stakes are in. Now the builders can come and start to move dirt and start to transform out there. Right now it's a wasteland. It's just a bunch of thorns and sand and weeds. But because we've got the blueprint, we've got the pattern of what it should be, what it's supposed to be transformed to. We're going to put our stakes in there, and then the heavy equipment's going to come in. It's going to start moving the dirt. It's going to start transforming stuff to make an incredible foundation so we can build this worship center for God. And we're going to transform that wasteland into a beautiful promised land. Come on, for Jacksonville. Where people can experience the promises of God in their life. Can I tell you this? You have a stake. I call it the stake of faith. And for you to break ground, God has a blueprint for your life, His Word. He's got a blueprint for how you should think about Him. He's got a blueprint for how you should think about yourself. He's got a blueprint for how you should react to your past. He's got a blueprint for what He wants your future to be like. He has a blueprint for your marriage. He's got a blueprint for your business. He's got a blueprint for your kids. God has got plans and plans and plans and blueprints and blueprints and blueprints. And what He's called you and I to do is to take our stake of faith and to mark it in His blueprint. And change the way that we think about the situation. And then Romans 12:2 comes to pass. Don't be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed. There's a transformation, a wasteland to a promised land, weeds to wisdom. There's a transformation that God wants to do in your life. God's saying, if you'll put the stake of faith in my blueprint, guess what? I'll come in, I'll start moving the dirt. I'll start breaking it up. I'll start changing things. And I'll start taking ground in your life. And what you thought was just a bunch of weeds and just a bunch of dirt, God says, no, I want to turn that into a beautiful environment for you, your family, your kids, and your future. Come on, can you give God a hand for that? But here's the key, and here's the battleground. What do we have to break? We have to break our wrong thinking patterns, and we have to change the way that we think. If you want to take ground, you've got to understand the battleground. And do you know where your battleground is? It is the battleground of your mind. It is the battleground of your mind. This is God's blueprint. He's given you faith. It's like a stake, and you've got to decide in your mind, I'm not going to think like this anymore. Look, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm not going to think like this anymore. I'm going to see what God's blueprint says, and no matter how I feel, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to put a stake of faith in there. And I'm going to dig into that blueprint. Can I tell you, the second that you do that, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, all of a sudden the transforming power of God enacts in your life. He begins to rain down his righteousness and power in your life and in your faith, your family, your finances, for your personal freedom and everything else. God begins to turn wastelands into promised lands, weeds into wisdom. He begins to transform you. Listen, God is about transformation. I'm telling you, man. Serving God is not about eking out an existence. It's not about accepting the status quo. But what happens with us is we put our stake into the blueprint, and then as soon as something goes wrong, we pull it up. Remember what I said in the beginning? Listen, the longer we've waited on this thing, the sweeter the deal's gotten, the greater the blessing has gotten. Some blessings come quick, some transformation happens quick, some takes a little longer. Listen, you've got to learn how to put your stake in the ground and say, I don't care what else is going on. I am putting my focus in God's blueprint. What we think about ourselves, what we think about other people, how we're truthful. We're learning to be honest with ourselves, learning to change the way that we think and put that thinking into God's blueprint. That's what this series is about. It's about changing the way that you think. Change it. If you have an addiction, listen, you think, well, this is just how it is. Oh, no, it isn't. It might be how it is, but it's not how it's going to be. Because you're going to change the way that you think. Well, this has just happened in my past, so this is how it is. That might be how it is, but it's not going to affect the rest of your life. You got to think right about that. You've got to see, do you know that you're uniquely made? Do you know the purposes, the blueprints that God has for your life, for your finances? There's a blueprint. That's why I'm hoping we've got that groups expo out there at all of our locations. You'll see all of our groups are divided into, there's five F's there. There's faith, freedom, finances, family, and then we also have fitness. That's all ground that God wants you to take in your life. But the first step, if you want to take ground, you got to break ground. And what you break is those wrong thinking patterns and start aligning your thinking with the blueprint of God's word. That's the start. And then God begins to transform and build your life. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what kind of addiction it is. I don't care what type of self-image you have. I've never talked to so many people who have just a bad view, Christians, that are always down on themselves, always negative of themselves, always thinking they don't matter. This America, we are addicted to popularity. We're addicted to everybody liking us. Listen to me. Not everybody's going to like you. You need to chill out. Stop trying to please everybody and worry about pleasing God. That's a part of our fascination with Facebook is. Because we can get more people to like us. She might like me. He might like me. Be my friend. Be my friend. Be my friend. Be my friend. Poke, 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 poke. Be my friend. Be my friend. Be my friend. Be my friend. Poke, 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 poke. Like me. Like me. I need attention. Like me. Like me. I need attention. Be my friend. Be my friend. Be my friend. Be my friend. Poke, 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 poke. Ah! If we would just poke God. If we would poke God just a fraction of the time that we spend poking people that don't even like us. God not only likes you, he loves you. Listen, there's another great Facebook. You know what? It's called Getting on Your Face with the Book. Listen, I'm all for Facebook. I'm on Facebook. It's all good. But you know, Facebook can't change your life. Not eternally. It can't change your heart. It doesn't have God's blueprint for your life. And that's what we have to gear our thinking on and change our thinking about life, the way we see ourselves and others and everything else. We've got to break those wrong thinking patterns and start thinking how God tells us to think. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Go with me to Philippians 1:3. I'm back there and I'm going to close with this. Philippians is a book. It's a book about change. It's a book about learning to rise above your circumstances. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this book for prison, yet in this book, this short epistle here, he mentions the word joy 19 times. Philippians is a book about change. And he's writing this letter to them. This is 10 years since he planted the church, okay? When he planted the church 10 years ago, you ready? That launch team was all women. Come on, ladies. I told you I was going to show you some love later. So what does that mean? Guys, we don't listen to our wives, but if they want to help plant a church, go ahead and let... I'm only kidding. But he did. The original launch team here was a group of ladies. Obviously, the church now, it's grown. It's, you know, a really large church, very diverse. Men, women, all type of races in here as well. And here's what he says. So he's writing them, and it's been 10 years, and he's just so grateful for how the church has grown, you know, and we're going to be, we're over 10 years, we're 12 years, we'll be 13 years old next week. And here's what the Apostle Paul says in 1:3. He says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, talking about the church fellowship and their growth, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I'm confident of this, and he's about to tell him why. He said, I'm confident in this, that he who has broken ground in you, he's going to see that through until the day of Jesus. Come on, how many of you will agree with that? Huh? But now he's going to tell them why he's confident in that and the prayer that he's praying for them that is giving him the confidence in that. He goes on in verses 7 and 8, and he's basically talking about, you know, his burden for them and his heart for them, how it's with the affection of Jesus. He's just saying, look, this is not a natural affection, but this is a supernatural affection, a love that I have for you. You guys are like my spiritual children. And now look what he prays, and this is what gives him the confidence that he talks about in verse 6, that God will complete, God will continue to transform, that they will continue to take ground. He says, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Everybody say knowledge. Knowledge. Everybody say discernment. Discernment. He says that you may approve the things that are excellent. Everybody say approve. Approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, Romans 12:2 says, you know, be renewed or be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then that verse goes on to say, so that you may approve. Exact same word that's used in here to approve what is excellent. So that you may approve the acceptable, the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. It's the same language. And then he goes on to say, look at this. He says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So here's what he's saying here. Look, if you want your ground to be fertile, that has good root, so that the fruits of God, it's to God's glory that we bear fruit, so that you can have the love, so that you can have the joy, so that you can have the patience, so that you can have the peace, so that you can experience all this power and blessing. If you want to see that type of fruit in your life, if you want to take that kind of ground, if you want to expand your fields, if you want to take ground and see that kind of harvest, he says, then here what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to grow in what? Your knowledge and in your discernment. You know what he's saying here? He's saying that you're going to have to change the way that you think, and you're going to have to continue to renew your mind according to God's blueprint. If you continue to do that, God will never stop the transforming process. It will keep on going. You will keep taking ground in your life, taking ground in your finances, taking ground in your family. Oh, sure, you'll have trials. Oh, sure, you'll have challenges. Oh, sure, you'll have disappointments. But I'm telling you, I'm confident in this. You change your mind, and God will change your heart, and He will carry that work on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. Come on, can you give Him a hand for that? But here's what we need to understand as believers. See, a lot of times we just think, okay, God's going to change things. Well, not necessarily. Well, God's just going to, you know, change this thing. Here's what God's saying. Look, God's saying, for me to change your heart and for me to change your situation, I need for you to change something. I need for you to change your mind. I need for you to start changing the way you think. That's what He's saying right here. You want this thing to go on to completion? He's saying, look, you've got to grow in knowledge and discernment. You've got to change your mind. You've got to keep thinking according to God's blueprint. Same thing in Romans 12, too. It doesn't say be transformed by just wanting God to change you. It says be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. You have a job to do. Are you ready for this? God can't change your mind. And you can't change your heart. But you can change your mind, and if you change your mind, then God will change your heart. That's how it works, and that's how you take ground. You change your mind, and God will change your heart. That's all He asks you to do. He knows that you don't have the power to have that type of blessing and change this situation and take this kind of ground. God's like, look, I don't need you to do that. You just put your stake of faith in the blueprint, and I'm going to bring the heavy machinery into your life, and I'm going to begin to transform that wasteland into a promised land in your personal life, your family, your finances. But you got to keep growing in God's blueprint. You got to do it His way. You change your mind, and God will change your heart. Where He reigns, He reigns. Where He reigns, He reigns. You change your mind, God will change your heart. He'll take your heart from fallow ground to fertile ground where He can build, bring life, and transform. And that will flow out of every other area of your life. It's time for you to take some ground for God. And I believe this is a prophetic season for our church. That as we take ground out there, put our stakes in, and start seeing that environment being built, that transformation on that land, as we take that ground, I believe you're going to start taking more ground in your life. And God's going to rain His righteousness down on you. And you're going to start experiencing the kind of fruit, the kind of harvest in those areas that you've always believed God for. Amen. Come on, are you ready to take some ground in your life? Come on, let's pray. Father, we love You. Lord, it's just such a great day today. How many of you, real quickly right now, you'd just say, Stovall, You know the areas. Just bow your heads. Everyone bow your heads for just a moment here. All of our locations, you would know those areas, whether it's personal freedom, where it's something that you're dealing with, something in your family, your marriage, your relationships, but you know there's an area that you really want to see transformation in, that you really want to take ground on. And today you're saying, Stovall, I'm going to put my stake of faith into God's Word. And I'm going to see that area transformed. I want you to raise your hand right now. You're taking ground. You want to take ground. Hands up all over the place. Almost every hand is raised. You can put those hands down. Listen, in the next few weeks, we're going to learn. We're going to really learn how to change our minds and put our thinking on God's Word and experience that kind of transformation. How many of you would say this now? You say, Stovall, look, I'm away from God. And the first transformation that I need, I need forgiveness. I want to make sure that all of my sins are forgiven, that I'm spending eternity with God and not apart from God. I need a fresh start with God today. I need God's forgiveness. Or maybe you serve God at one time, but you've been away from God, and you know you need to recommit your life to Him today. If you just say, Stovall, that's me. You know who you are. You need a fresh start with God today. I want you to raise your hand right now. Yes, yes, yes. Wow, hands up all over the place. All of our locations, annexes, raise those hands. You say, I need a fresh start with God. I'm so excited. You can put those hands down. So excited for so many of you. Here's what I'm going to do, church. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I'm going to ask, if you raised your hand, repeat this prayer. The first part of the prayer will be for those who are receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior and making that fresh start with God. The second part of the prayer will be about us putting our stake of faith in God's Word and taking ground for Him and seeing that transformation happen, just as transformation's about to happen on our church property. And let's just all repeat this as well, just kind of as a declaration of faith, and those of you can help those along who are praying it. Let's all say this together. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin, and Lord, I receive You as my Lord and Savior. I thank You for forgiveness, and I thank You for a fresh start. I thank You for eternal life. And Lord, from this day forward, I set my mind on You and on Your Word. God, I'm going to change the way I think, and You are going to change my life. Lord, I take ground according to Your blueprint, and I thank You that You are going to rain down Your power and Your blessings over my life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give it up for God, huh?
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.